So we are going to continue the exercises from yesterday. But first of all, I wanted to just ask you guys how many of you could not align yesterday? How many of you got all zeros out? So there's one, two, three, four, five. So if you could not do that, the solution is very simple. And that's to steal someone else's data just to move on, because otherwise it's going to be very boring for you in the next few hours. And I'm going to put this back up there, but if you know how to do it, basically what you need to do is to log in to your assigned server again. And then you find another user in the work there. You go into their folder. You don't change anything in their folder. But you can open their summary stats file and just look at it. And supposedly there are numbers in there that are not zeros. If that's the case, that means that they successfully aligned their reads. And in that case, you can copy their files to your local folder. One slight issue is that you also need to copy their assembly to your folder, because the snip detection software always references the assembly, and all of your assemblies are going to be slightly different from each other. So you need to copy the assembly folder to your own assembly folder and everything in it. You need to copy anything that's in the other user's data folder that is called assembly something into your data folder. And then finally, you need to copy the deduplicated BAM files, which are the alignment files, from the other user to your own data folder. And then you can go back there, and then you can continue, start doing the snip detection exercise. So I'll put this back up there in a minute. But first, I wanted to show you the results of the alignment parameters that we looked at yesterday. I don't know if you can see this. So I've sort of summarized this by parameter. So this is showing the number of mismatches that you allow. And anything that's below one here is a proportional number of mismatches. So it'll allow either three or four or five mismatches, depending on the length of the read. Whereas the ones that are above one here, so three, five, or eight, are just the number of mismatches. So here, allowing a flat rate of three mismatches for any size read. And the blue here are the number that are unaligned still, the number of unaligned reads. The red ones are the number of reads that align to multiple locations. And the green crosses are ones that align to one position only in your transcriptome with a good mapping quality. And as you can see, the number of mismatches doesn't really seem to affect things a whole lot. You see there's a slight sort of decrease in the number of unaligned, slight increase in the number of quality aligned, and a slight increase in the number of multiply aligning reads. But on the whole, not a huge difference, which is nice. Same thing for the length of the seed. Not huge differences there. There's a few of these blue triangles, as you can see down here. I'm not really sure why that is. My hypothesis is that someone pasted the wrong number into the wrong little square in the Excel sheet. And same thing goes for the number of mismatches in the seed. No huge differences there. And also for the gaps allowed, if you allowed a gap or not, no real differences there. What does become interesting is when you look at the speed, so the time it took to align. And so this is for allowing the number of mismatches. You can see that when you have a proportional rate, it goes fairly quickly. with n equals 3 also fairly quickly. But then when you increase it to 5, you start getting all kinds of variants here. And then when you increase it more, I said here everything that people had typed in as just taking too long or takes forever. I set that to 1 hour. It's probably more than that in many cases, but that was my sort of end point. So as you can see, there's something happening here at 5, and then above that, it just takes forever. And so zooming in, I haven't quite made sense of this yet, so please help me. If you zoom in at n equals 5, I've sort of sorted it here by the length of the seed and at k equals 2, so allowing two mismatches in your seed, you see that there's some sort of like linear relationship here, that the longer the seed gets, the longer it takes to align. But then when you allow for 5 mismatches in the seed, there's this weird sort of U-shaped, and there's actually 2 data points here that show that it's actually fairly quick to do it when your seed length is 32 and k equals 5, but then if the seed is shorter or longer, it seems to take longer. I don't know why. And then just to show you that the other parameters do not seem to affect alignment time at all. So the length of the seed, you see there's all over the board, no matter what the length is. Number of mismatches in the seed, also similar pattern. And finally, gaps allowed, also either 0 or 1, same pattern there. So this is some pretty fun results to, and we can talk about that more, what it actually means. So that was that. I had some notes. Yeah, so we can start doing the SNP detection exercise. So you can copy. Steal someone else's data if you don't have your own, and then start doing that. I would urge you to please read the text before typing the commands around it. In general, I feel that I've kind of explained what the scripts do fairly well. It does get slightly complicated after lunch, especially what the scripts do. So please read that. And then the actual SNP detection script, when you run that, that will take a while. So the idea is to actually get that started right before lunch. It should take about half an hour to finish or so. So if you start that before lunch, and then it'll run, and then hopefully it'll be done by the time we come back. And the way that script works, I'll just explain it quickly. The genome analysis toolkit that we'll be using now is designed for human genome project. And it sort of ideally wants a true SNP call set. So it wants a list of true variant sites that it then will use to basically evaluate any SNPs if they are likely to actually be real or if they are can be false positives. Now, as we work with non-model organisms, we don't normally have that. So one way to get around that is to first do a SNP calling procedure with a very, very high quality threshold. And you'll get a kind of small data set, but you can be fairly confident that those are actual SNPs. And then what you can do is you run it again, but with a lower quality threshold. And then you can use the ones from the first run as your true call set. So that's the way, one way we can get around that with non-model organisms. And I just want to mention, because there's been a lot of talk about thresholds versus probabilities. And so in this protocol, we'll be using thresholds. So initially, when we call SNPs, we'll be using a threshold quality of 20, which is 99% probability. And then we'll be sort of using that threshold at each step. But just keep that in mind that, you know, that's one way to do it. It's an easy way to do it. But, you know, for future purposes, I think it'll be more and more common that we're carrying along the probabilities rather than using thresholds. So please go ahead and get started.